And it is Wednesday, January the 13th, 2021. Still weird to say that. 14 minutes past the hour. We thank the guest this morning, Gary Burbank, who's just hung it up as Earl Pitts after 35 years, the longest-running comedy syndicated radio program in radio history. And we thank Gary for getting up early this morning.
One of my favorites.
Oh, you know, I was talking to Gary about that this morning. You have to feel proud that 35 years. What
yeah,
a run.
Yeah.
What a run. But interesting interview that he kind of feels that people, he mentioned this twice in the interview, so I think it's important to him, that Earl is not real, and what he says is not to be taken seriously. But he worries that people do
take it
seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a real thing.
Well, I listened to him, and I don't listen to him much anymore because I'm not on the road like I used to be. But I'd listen to him in my car, and I'd laugh my derriere off, and then I'd think to myself, I wonder, I have a friend, let's say, that is kind of country, and I wonder if that offended him. I've wondered that several times. And then I think, well, he's just kind of making fun of the humanity as opposed to country folks.
You know what? I would go out on a limb and say that nobody ever listened who was, you know, maybe that type of Southern person and got offended, but I bet you people have listened and said, you know, boy, you're right, Earl.
Go for it. Oh, yeah. I did all the time.
Right, right. But that is not, you know, it's a comedy piece.
Yeah.
It's not to be serious,
yeah,
is what Gary said. And he said he worries about that.
Well, a lot of comedians have said that through the years. It's just a comedy piece. Earl, I can't remember the guy's name. The guy that was so vulgar. Anyway, a lot of them have hidden behind, oh, it's just comedy. It's not intended to be. And sometimes it is comedy, and sometimes it's cutting. And his is not cutting. It's funny.
You know, this is an interesting thing, because we do hear that. Now, do you think it's hiding behind comedy?
I think some people do.
Because here's what I have learned. A comedian, even if it is political humor, even if it is satire like Earl Pitts is, they don't really care about what's being said. They just care if the audience laughs. I don't think if they said it to make a point and the audience didn't laugh, that it would be in the act the next time.
Well, you're right there. One of my favorite comedians is George Carlin. And I think his was pretty pointedly running against that type of culture.
I think he believed what he said, yeah, but I think ultimately it was, is it funny?
Yeah, if it hadn't been funny, he wouldn't have left it in. You're absolutely right there.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why, and this is a problem with comedians in this country, because they feel like they can't talk about certain things,
yep,
because
yep,
people will jump all over them because, hey, that's what you truly mean, and you're trying to.
And you get criticized for being politically correct, or the same people that criticize you for being politically correct will criticize you for saying something against their group.
Yeah. Well, that you're trying to be funny.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, you're trying to make the audience laugh. You're not trying to offend, I guess.
Right.
I mean, you end up offending.
I think you know you're going to offend some people when you do that.
Oh, I think you do. Yeah. But I didn't think it didn't used to be people would pick at you and try to have you thrown in PC jail.
I'll have to ask Mike Larson next time I have him on. He was a stand-up comedian for several years and did very well. But we've kind of talked about that a little bit, and I think he's pretty sure, because he uses a lot of political humor, he's pretty sure that he's going to offend people, but he doesn't mean to. I'm not sure how he explained it, but he didn't want to hurt their feelings because of their honest feelings inside. He wanted to hurt their feelings about the standing up with a group that you really didn't know what you're talking about. I'm not explaining that very well, but I'll think about it.
Well, the other thing, and this has nothing to do with people's political leanings, but with comedians, one thing I don't like is when, I mean, if they use profanity or vulgar language, that's fine. I'm not against that. But the problem is, if you're using it to get the laugh, I think that's lazy.
Well, I think there are a lot of 7th and 8th graders that do that. So we don't need you to do that. But, like, my wife will not listen to a comedian that uses vulgarity. We listen to Jim Gaffigan, first of all, because he's a very clean comedian. Also, he's from the city right next to ours, Chesterton, Indiana, which is right next to Valparaiso. So we have kind of a hometown boy thing. But she won't listen to Richard Pryor in his really vulgar stuff. She gets really angry that he uses that language, whereas it makes me roll on the ground. I mean,
well, see, Richard Pryor's interesting because most people regard him as the greatest stand-up of all time.
I do.
Yeah. And with Richard Pryor, he did use a lot of profanity.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what people were laughing at. I think they were laughing at his jokes. I mean, I do think his jokes were very...
But the shock of the profanity kind of heightened it.
I think it amped it up a little bit, but I don't think... I think if you took out the profanity, Richard Pryor would still be funny.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Well, you and I have both done public speaking, and I don't think you'd... to go back to your first point, I don't think you'd leave anything in your public speeches where you looked out at the audience and they were kind of groaning.
You know,
take it out.
I'll tell you what's funny is it had nothing to do with profanity, but you know, you get asked to speak at different venues, and I was asked to speak. I can't remember what the group was, but it was not a church group. And until the night of the show, I didn't realize that the meeting was being held at a church. And I went into the church, and I didn't think anything of it, because my speeches aren't negative to churches or anything like that. But there is one story that I tell about Phyllis Diller and her atheism that it usually gets a laugh when I tell it, and it's her joke. But I told it in the church, and they laughed. They laughed, so they had a good sense of humor, but I thought about it.
Yeah, but
I did. I thought, well, should I go with
that? He might be looking over my shoulder.
He might be looking over my shoulder. Go ahead, caller.
Looking over his shoulder, okay.
That's right. No atheist jokes this morning.
You pick up the phone before you're done talking about them.
That's exactly okay. Right.
I think Earl Pitts got a lot in common with our president.
Well, you know, did you hear...
He tells people a lot of stuff, and they believe him.
Well, did you hear Gary Burbank this morning?
I've heard Gary Burbank for probably 30 years, maybe.
Well, the interview this morning I thought was interesting, because he talked about the parallels between Trump and Earl Pitts, and that he worries that
yeah,
people...
I missed you this morning.
So. Yeah, well, it'll replay, and hopefully you get to hear it, but it's interesting, because he said he does worry that in the last 4 years, outlandish things that Earl Pitt says, people don't see as outlandish anymore.
I can
Gary
see that.
Gary Burbank was one of my favorites, too.
Me, too, yeah.
He's got restaurants, you know.
Yeah, he does.
Well, you know, you know what? I was surprised this morning, because I did not think this would be the answer. I said, does it bother you? Because he was such a prolific guy, has so many other characters that he created on his show on WLW. I said, does it ever bother you that in your obituary it's going to say Earl Pitt's creator, the voice of Earl Pitts dies? And he said, yes. He said, yes. He said, because my body of work was bigger than that. And it wasn't his favorite bit.
Oh.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting.
He did the preacher, the homonymies.
Yes,
homonymies or whatever.
Oh, and the politician. I can't think of the name, but he did the politician.
It's been a long time since I've heard any of his programs, so it's a little bit fuzzy, the memories. But,
well,
he was one funny guy.
The guy
that was with him, too, was the perfect straight man, Doc.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't remember his name.
Doc, and
they
he had who was the other guy? Slim Tempo.
I don't remember.
I think those were his two kind of cohorts. But you know, it was a comedy show, and Earl Pitts is a comedy show. But I don't know if people always took that as comedy. I know people who thought that he was Earl Pitts, that Earl Pitts is a real person.
Is it nationally syndicated, that show?
I
just wondered how it would affect people on the East and the West Coast as opposed to in the Middle.
Well, he said it's more, you know, there's 100 stations in Louisiana that carry it,
oh, wow.
But not as many in Canada.
Ah.
you know.
Did you ever hear of John Corby when he was on WTVN in Columbus on the radio?
You know, it's funny you mention that, because when Steve Cannon was here for a few swipes a few years ago, one of his guests was John Corby when he was on here, and I don't remember how, but I ended up taking part in that show somehow. But yeah, so I remember John Corby.
Yeah, John Corby was he was just almost as good as Gary. Yeah, he died about 2 years ago, I think it
was. You know what? I was shocked. I was shocked at how political John Corby was when he came on.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't expect that. He got very. It wasn't an argument, but at the end of it, I can't even remember. 5 years ago, this happened, but he was very. He liked to be right. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But good guy.
He had that. He had that side too, but. He was funny too. He had some funny bits. He tried to do an old Fitz copy. I can't remember what the name of the guy was, but he tried a old Fitz thing, and it never went over big. He didn't keep it.
Well, it's usually not good to try to copy something somebody else is doing.
No, especially someone like Burbank.
You're
never
no
going to do
gonna
it as
win.
Good. Never going to do it as good as the original.
Yeah, you're never going to win that. All you'd be accused of is copying, and originality to it. So.
Well, we had a question this morning when Gary Burbank was on, was, is there going to be somebody else taking over the character, or is there going to be something similar to that in the spot now? And he said, no, they're just going to air the best of.
No, it's too long ago that he left. Very few people know about him right now, you know. Not many people remember him.
What did
because he's been off for, what, he's been off for 10, 15 years?
Who's that?
Gary.
Gary off WLW, but the last new Earl Pitch just aired on January 1st. That was the last new one.
But not on WLW.
Yeah. Well, I think they still air on WLW.
Oh,
yeah, the Earl Pitch shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. How did I?
Yeah, Earl Pitch was still...
Track of him.
Earl Pitch had been new. If you heard Earl Pitch in the last 13 years since Gary stopped doing his show, it was still a new show, but the last new episode aired on the 1st, so anything you hear now that stations are running is a repeat.
They'll turn it into a blog.
I have to look on the radio and see if I can find it.
I think there's still some stations around here that air. Well, I don't know now. I don't know if they're airing the repeats or not.
I don't know. There are too many, political AM stations anymore.
Well, as far as talk stations goes, that's why we're here. We try to... there is some politics involved here, because I think you can't not cover it. But hopefully we can have a morning like this morning with Gary Burbank and Dr. Euline, where we didn't talk anything about politics.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth.
So. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I remember John Corby when he was on with Steve Cannon, and I wish I could remember what the thing was at the end that he got a little...
Was he mad at you?
I don't know if he was mad at me or not, but I think it was about how the news was covered. And he felt one way, and I was just saying, but what about the other perspective? And I don't think he liked that.
Sounds like my wife. She never likes me giving up the other perspective.
Well, I just remember. I know. I think what it was, to be honest with you, I think what it was he was considered, he believed that all news was bias. And I was saying, I don't think that's the case. And I think we get into that still to this day, that all news is bias. And I don't believe all news is bias. I think there are people who still report the news.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, but yeah.
Well, as long as you don't put your opinion in it. See, this is the problem. Now, this is a big subject for a minute and a half. But the problem is, if I come on and I say, I'm trying to think of a story. The impeachment's going on right now.
Right.
Okay. If I come on and tell you that Congress is impeaching President Trump right now, that's news. I did not put my opinion in there at all. I didn't tell you whether I liked it or disliked it. I gave you the news. But people will say that's bias, because they'll say, why'd you even mention it? That didn't have to be mentioned. It's anti-Trump because he's being impeached. That's not bias. I'm just telling you the news.
Well, and then another thing they might do is judge you by the tone of your voice when you're doing it, which is unfair.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Nonsense. So that's where, if you watch the evening news, I will, watch 4, 6, or 10, NBC, ABC, CBS, their evening news, and you find one adjective in any of those broadcasts where they go, "and my opinion is," from the anchor, and you know, I'll buy you a cheeseburger, because it doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you turn on cable news, and that's all you hear.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
yeah.
There is unbiased news.
My wife and I fight about that all the time.
Well, if you're not giving your opinion, then it's not bias. Yeah. Why is it bias?
Right.
We're going to break, and there's no bias in that, because we will be back on the other side to talk about many more things, and you on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944. Hit us up. We'd love to talk to you. Be back in 1 minute. Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, back with you here on this Wednesday, January the 13th, 2021. Phone lines are open if there's anything you'd like to talk about, anything you've heard on the station this morning, or anything we're talking about now. 740-383-9944. 31 minutes past the hour.
I have something I'd like to talk
about. Go right ahead.
I think we need to change the color of this microphone.
Pink.
Coming in this morning, it's making me nauseous.
Pepto.
Yeah,
it's the color
it
of Pepto.
Is. Pepto.
You know, pink is probably most... Is pink associated with anything more than Pepto-Bismol?
Yes, but I can't say on the air.
What pink is?
Yeah.
Now, see...
Skin. Yeah.
But skin is not really pink. No, don't. Don't.
Well, you're right.
Family station.
And skin.
No, wait. More people see Pepto-Bismol than that, Glenn.
Well, and you know, the thing that always bothered me is the crayon that said skin or flesh colored. And I had a lot of friends that were African American. It looked nothing like this. For that matter, it didn't look like mine. So.
Well, no, but what do they call that now? It's they call it skin color, but it's got a term.
I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah, okra. Yeah, well, people used to think it was peach. Peach is what they used for a long time.
That's what I call my shirts when I wear a pink shirt and people make fun of me as my manlyhood because I call it either peach or coral. Yes.
What does Pepto-Bismol mean?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
It's a weird word.
We ought to call them.
Pepto-Bismol.
It is a weird word.
Yeah. What are you taking for your illness? Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah. That's kind of... The first part of it sounds exciting, and the second part of it sounds like you're going to get sick.
Yeah, B-I-S-M-O-L.
We'll have to...
Bismol.
I'll look it up while you're doing this.
Does anybody know what Pepto-Bismol means? 740-383-9944.
There are 15 people looking on their phones right now.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of antacid medications.
Yeah, there are.
Nausea medications. You know, Alka-Seltzer has kind of went down, though. Alka-Seltzer used to be very popular.
Really?
Well, don't you remember? Everybody knew the commercial, plop, plop, fizz.
Oh, sure. Fizz. Yeah, and quite frankly, it's a great hangover cure, yes. And I don't have those anymore, but I used to.
Well, I just think people like dropping the tablets in the water.
Yeah, it is kind of fun.
Yeah, it was a whole different kind of medication. Watch them dissolve and then swallow them down.
Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Yeah, that was... Yeah. Do they still use that?
I don't have any idea.
The marketing genius.
The first thing that comes up on its website is diarrhea medication. I don't like that word, diarrhea. For some reason or other, that sounds just bad.
Well, it is bad.
Yeah, it is.
It is bad.
You don't
bad.
Want it. But it doesn't give a reason for the name. I'm sorry.
Well, if anybody has any clues on why Pepto-Bismol, give us a call. It'll just be an opinion at this point. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
It says in here, one of the side, you know, when you get to the bottom of the item you've looked up, it gives you different things you can look up. Will Pepto-Bismol make you poop?
Will it?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up, but I just thought it was funny that my phone would use that word.
You know, I don't know if it will or not. I know it cures diarrhea.
It doesn't cure it.
Stops
completely.
It. Well, it stops it.
Yeah, it slows it down, maybe.
So I would not think it would make you go.
Yeah, okay. I can't find anywhere in here why the name thing. I'm not looking it up right now. You know, when we're on the air, I don't really have much time to
What's your feeling on the vaccine?
I'm going to take it as soon as I can. As a matter of fact, as soon as I'm off the show right now, I'm going to run across the street to the whatever the clinic's called and ask them what I need to do to get in line.
Well, I think the health department is administering them.
Okay.
And I don't...
Well, I thought they were administrated over at the...
Well, I don't think the health department is giving the shots, but I think the health department has to get them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
So I don't know where that stands right now.
Well, and the people on the steering committee nationally have come out today or yesterday and said that they believe that they will start giving them to anybody over 65, and I qualify. So.
Well, I don't know how it all works, though. You know, they've left it up
either.
To the states.
Yeah, and I asked my doctor, I said, well, how do I know? And he says he didn't know. He said, you'll probably get notified by February, but he had no idea how we were going to be told that we could go get our shots.
Well, does anybody know or has anybody had the shot? Give us a buzz. Now, Mary Ellen Withrow was in here yesterday. She talked about getting her shot in that... it just hurt her arm. And Angie Evers, who does the show Friday, she was talking about getting her vaccination last Friday.
Well, both of them have a reason. Mary Ellen is 90 years old and in a
retirement community.
And the other...
She works with...
Angie works... Yeah.
With the...
Food
and... No, she works at the clinic.
Yeah, at the clinic. I'm
at
sorry.
At the clinic, so she works with sick people.
So those two people have a chance. But those of us who are... non-employed don't really have our employer won't tell us anything because we're non-employed, and the government isn't talking about where you can go, but they are kind of hinting that they're going to try to get it into the general drug stores, like you go get a flu shot at your local Walgreens.
Well, it's because the federal government has left it up to the states.
Yeah.
On how they're going to distribute it.
Yeah.
So I don't think the federal government has anything to say at this point.
Well, I think it'll change in 1 week.
You know, I don't know.
I don't think we'll know anything in 1 week, but I think the wheels will start grinding in a week.
I think this weekend could be rough.
Oh, I do too.
Scares
me to death.
I don't know what's going to happen. I know that the National Guard has been deployed here in Ohio because of what might happen this weekend.
Right.
I don't know. I can't imagine... I just can't imagine that would happen. That what we're talking about is there are reports that in all 50 states there are plans to storm the state capitals.
Yeah.
Much like what was done last week on the national. But this impeachment isn't going to help that. Let's put it that way.
No, I don't think it's going to hurt it either. I think it's just going to happen. I think there are people that have decided that they are... really angry, and they want to let somebody know.
Right, but I don't, you know, I don't think the impeachment is, knowing that they know that this is planned for this weekend. That's why, I mean, here in Ohio, they have deployed the National Guard.
Mm-hmm. But that was brought up, that there would be further demonstrations. I'm going to use that term. They knew that when the first demonstration happened. They had already planned, I think, the 17th, a lot of... they were telling state houses then, and they really didn't know that they were going to do impeachment.
But what is it about the 17th? Because the inauguration...
Well,
it's a Sunday?
I'll
people are off?
I think the 17th is a Saturday. isn't it?
I thought it was Sunday.
Well, it could be, but there are a lot of plans for the Saturday. And both of those days, people can go out and demonstrate because they didn't work the night before, or if they did, you know. I mean, it's the weekends are the time to have parties and have, you know,
but
things
here,
like this.
Back to what is the point? Because
what is the point of what? I'm sorry.
What is the demonstration?
It isn't a demonstration.
So it's what?
It's a bunch of people going out to have fun.
But it doesn't seem like that's what happened last week.
No. Well, I think a lot of them did have fun. You watch a lot of them when they have close-ups, and they're having a ball. They're laughing.
Yeah, but
beating the crap out of cops.
Yeah, but you don't.
That's what I want
to
do.
But you don't deploy the National Guard to stop people from having fun.
No, not. I'm being very facetious. I'm
sorry. I really don't know. What is the point?
They claimed the point. The president asked them to go demonstrate to the Congress and the Senate their feelings that the president was cheated out of his election.
Well, that's fine.
And I think that's what it was supposed to be, but I think it got carried out of
it. Well, and if that's what they do on the 17th, fine.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I agree that you should, if you honestly believe that, first of all, I think you ought to have your ID or your IQ checked. But if you honestly believe that, I think you have every right in the world to go and peacefully stand out like I did for Black Lives Matter, stand out on the street and wave a flag and hold a sign.
But I just have an eerie feeling. This just feels too much to me like Kent State.
Yeah.
And Kent State is where we realized that you can pour fire on a flame.
Yeah.
And I think the impeachment, which will happen just days before this, and I think that calling in the National Guard, I think that pours fire on the flame.
There's a huge difference between Kent State and this, though. One of my friends was one of the people that was shot there. And he's told me more than once they had no idea that the guns were going to be loaded. They saw the bayonets, so they knew that. But they assumed that the guns were not loaded when the shooting started. And he was completely out of an area that he thought he was going to be shot, and he got shot and cannot use his legs.
Well, just remember also that here in Ohio, what was it, 13 days ago, we now have a stand your ground law.
Yeah, and I hate that.
And we have concealed carry.
And I hate that.
So
I hate that, and I hate open carry. I think we're going to have to find all those laws do right now that I can see is allow certain people to get set up with the weapons to go out and have a war.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't care if everybody in the state of Ohio shows up at the state house on Sunday and protest. You're allowed to do that.
Either. Yeah.
Just you can't shoot people. You can't try to break into the state house. You can't do those things.
Well, what's to say that if, let's say you show up and you have an open carry or a concealed carry gun on your hip, and you see somebody you don't like or disagree with, and you start arguing, why not pull the gun out and blast him because you thought he was going to hurt you?
Well, I just hope that the people who are feeling differently about this than the people who are protesting don't try to be in the same place, because that's what creates a lot of friction.
Oh, they will be.
Well, and
because there are people that love that friction, the whatever the boys are called, that's what they want to do.
But I'm saying we know that the people who think the election was stolen are going to show up. They've made it very clear. That's why the National Guard. So the people who don't believe the election is stolen, I hope they don't show up.
I do too.
In the same area to cause more friction.
Yeah, I do too. But and I think it'll be few and far between that do show up. There's no sense in going in and poking the bear, right?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why that would happen, but that's what happened during the Black Lives Matter thing. You had the people who were protesting, and then you had people who felt that protest was wrong.
Yeah.
And then you saw friction.
I think that the opposite side of the Black Lives Matter tends to be more aggressive than the Black Lives Matter side. So I don't think you'd ever see Black Lives Matter people showing up at a skinhead rally. I don't think. Now, well, there might be some stupid people that will, but I...
I just, you know, I look at a city like Columbus, and one of the problems is it's a very liberal city. It voted very much for Biden.
Yeah.
And so you're having this get-together, which is most likely going to feature people from other counties in Ohio showing up in Franklin County to have this protest in a very liberal city, down in the heart of liberalism. I mean, the Capitol is right next to the Columbus Commons and right down in the district of liberalism in downtown. In Columbus. So that is bad.
But it wasn't the liberal people that invited them. They're going because people are going into capitals. They're not going there because it's a liberal town. They're going there because it's
right, right, because it's a state house.
Yeah.
But that's a bad recipe.
Yeah.
We're going to break for a minute.
Okay,
we're going to talk more about this in 60 seconds. Be right back after this 60-second break.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
You know, there are just unbelievable moments in time, but I'm looking at the front of the USA Today here, and heightened security at Capitol as House prepares to impeach Trump. And it's showing congressmen walking in, and there are, I don't know if they're National Guard, but they're clearly in camouflage. They're laying on the floors of the Capitol just in case anything happens. It's an unbelievable...
Who is laying the...
I mean, look at the... I don't know if
the
you
National
see this.
Guard? I can't
I don't
it.
Know if it's a National Guard or not,
oh, okay.
But it just says heightened security as the impeachment happens. Let me see if I can get a better...
And you were talking about being an actual newscaster as opposed to... And there's a lot of hyperbole that is going out there to get bigger audiences. I really hate that they make it bigger than it probably is. But this particular situation is pretty big.
Well, it just... I can't imagine that there are people laying on the floor of the Capitol like that. Here it is. 1 week after attack, heightened security at Capitol, including the National Guard. The grounds of the U.S. Capitol normally open to the public, and a running bike route for many Washington, D.C. natives was surrounded by a tall metal fence Wednesday, with dozens of National Guardsmen standing at the perimeter, cradling their rifles at the ready. Police officers and large dump trucks blocked intersections for blocks surrounding the building, a stark contrast to the security last week. A heightened security in Washington comes as the House prepares to impeach Trump for a second time Wednesday for his role in the Capitol breach that happened last week. So police officers, dump trucks, a fence, National Guard.
I think they're doing a lot of that for show, and I don't mean that they wouldn't use them if they had to, but I think they want to show force so that they cut down on the amount of incoming problems.
Well, I think they know after the votes that were taken last night about the 25th Amendment and things of that nature that he is going to be impeached today.
Yeah.
They're going to vote.
Oh, yeah.
And the Democrats have the power to do it. They have the majority. But the Republicans...
Yeah,
the Republicans
are starting to join, though. There are four or five already.
I think that'll be the height, though.
Maybe.
I do. To impeach him, you know, and to be honest with you, I don't even know if it'll be that high. I really don't, because I think there's a lot of fear right now among Republicans.
Four have said they would, definitely.
Right. So it could be.
I think there'll be more, but we'll know tomorrow, I guess.
Well, doesn't the vote happen today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I say
we'll have the answer tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. And he'll become the only president, whether you like him or dislike Trump, in U.S. history to be impeached twice.
Yep.
So there you go.
I don't know that that does anything. I kind of agree with you. I'm not sure the impeachment will do anything or is really wise, but that's their job, and I'm sure that there are people smarter than me that know why they're doing this.
I don't know at this point. The world has gone a little off its rocker.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I'm not so certain the world has as much as the United States has.
You know, I think when you work in a building like that, and I think when your mirrors are broken and your staff is under a desk and your doors are busted in and people are chanting, and clearly the security they have today, I think... I don't know how much of this is being done out of fear about what could happen and how much of it is being done out of law, because from what I have heard everybody say, yes, they can impeach him, but the trial could not start until the 19th. He's gone on the 20th.
That's what
McConnell said.
McConnell says. But McConnell has softened that. And actually, from what I understood from my listening to the news last night, McConnell could go along with... what's the minority leaders?
Majority? Will be the majority?
Yeah.
Schumer.
Schumer. If McConnell goes along with Schumer, they could do it tomorrow. They could
start the trial?
Yeah, they could tell the senators to come back.
Well, don't they, though, have... so this will not be witnesses. They're not going to... Because you have so long after a subpoena to show up.
I think that's a choice that they can make. I don't know.
Well,
and they may say, we'll come arrest you if you don't show up.
Well, but I think the law says you have to give somebody some notice for a subpoena.
I don't know.
I don't think you can come in and just pull them out of their house.
And the last time they had it, the Senate didn't allow witnesses, so... I don't know exactly what it'll come down to.
Wouldn't the smart thing be, if they do start it tomorrow in the Senate, wouldn't it just be, let's just take a vote? We know what happened.
I think that's kind of what they were saying they would do. They would have a floor vote. They would. I think that's one of the things that Mitch McConnell said they couldn't do. The reason why he didn't want to have it is to open the floor and have a floor vote, you had to have certain things done. Well... Schumer pointed out that a law was made back, was it when 9/11? I'm not sure it was, but there was a law made that said that if Schumer and McConnell agreed to it, they could start the trial tomorrow.
Now, obviously it would be President Trump is who they're impeaching. Doesn't he have the right to have legal defense there?
I'm sure he does.
So yeah. I don't think they could just vote without a trial.
I think they'd have to, he has to have his day in court, yeah.
And I'm sure they have to have some time to prepare a case, and also...
One would think, yeah.
So I don't think in...
The best it could be done is the day before maybe the inauguration, or maybe 5 days after the inauguration.
At that point, that it becomes... See, because that's what the scholars are confused on, that, okay... You impeach him, and then you vote to remove him from office.
Well, one of the things they're trying to get involved in this, and it's Article 4 of the, and I can't remember of which what the thing is, but anyway, they have an article that says that if you're impeached, you can no longer hold a public office.
But isn't that, was that a mistake? Because
well, I don't know.
Well,
it's
I wonder.
In the laws.
Well, you're right, but here, right, but the question is also the top part of this is about insurrection at the Capitol,
right?
Inciting violence. Okay, well, if that goes over to the Senate, and you have to have 2/3 to convict, I think, and they don't get 2/3 on insurrection, well, that whole thing about never holding full office is going to go by the wayside, too. Wouldn't it have been wiser just to impeach him on that and see if you could get the Senate to lay that out?
I'm not sure what would have been wise. I think all of this is a political thing. I think it's all... You know, the Democrats think that if you impeach him twice, even if he doesn't get into the Senate, allows him to go ahead. I think being the only president to be impeached twice will kind of run him down in the history. And I think maybe that's what they're doing. But I'm afraid it's all political.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, we were just wondering when you were going to have Tracy Kinsler on again.
You know what, Tracy, I believe the last time she was on was mid-December. I've been in touch with her, but right now the health department is kind of overrun with all the new cases that came about because of Christmas, and she's still scheduled to be on next Tuesday, but we have had to cancel the last couple because of the immunizations that have come in. Is there a question you want to ask her?
No, but she gives pretty good information out to what's going on. So
yeah, she should be on next Tuesday, as far as I know, at 8:15. But we have had to cancel the last two because of them kind of being overrun down there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Yeah. It's good information that she gives us all. Yeah,
it is, and it's been a great help. And anybody who wants to know, she's supposed to be on this coming Tuesday, a week from yesterday, at 8:15, and then she's on every other Tuesday at 8:15. And maybe that'll get easier now that we're getting further away from the holidays. Plus, I think this vaccination thing has overwhelmed them because they're not sure what to do or how to do it. Nobody's ever been faced with that before.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy time.
And again, the phone lines are open. We got 6 minutes left in this hour, 740-383-9944. But, you know, the impeachment vote will happen today, and that'll headline every newscast tomorrow and every newspaper tomorrow, and that'll be it. Another impeachment.
It's kind of slipped the coronavirus thing back onto the back burner, but it's still killing, 40,000 a day or something, or above that. And I'm looking forward to when you have her on next Tuesday, if she can make it, because there are a lot of questions that everybody has. And you had Dr. Euling, I forget his
name. Dr. Art Euling?
Yeah, Art Euling. You had him on today, and he answered some questions. I was listening to him, and it's good to know. But we're all just in the dark right now.
Well, I think right now, maybe for the first time since the pandemic, except for Election Day and that five-day period after trying to figure out who won, I think that was probably a bigger story than coronavirus at the time. I think right now, until the inauguration, this will be a bigger story than coronavirus. Not that it's fun that we're losing people every day.
No.
But there's never been a time where capitals had to call out the National Guard almost in every state because we're fearful of what's going to, and the inauguration, there's worry of that, and you're going to have three former presidents there, and the vice president's going to be there, and it's going to be a weird week.
It scares me to death to do that, and I wish that the president-elect Biden would say, okay, we're going to have it in the rotunda, and nobody will be allowed in except for legislators and officials that need to be there. Now, that's kind of crazy, too, though. We have some legislators. We have that one lady that's a QAnon lady who doesn't even have a high school education. That kind of scares me.
But she got elected.
She got elected, yeah. But
that's,
it scares
how we work
me
here,
that she's there. And then did you watch last night? That lady happened to be they were kind of bunkered into, while the riot was going on, they were in this one room, and one lady went by to offer everybody masks, and she and several other Republicans, I don't know why, but they decided, they told her they didn't want a mask. I don't understand that.
Well, we've got 3 minutes left here. We got a whole another hour this morning.
Okay.
But I wonder, did you see the Nancy Pelosi interview on 60 Minutes Sunday?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, a lot of things went on in that interview, but a lot of them we're very aware of at this point. You know, her office was breached, and she's obviously not, she wants the president to go, and she's got the impeachment articles, and we know about all that.
Yeah.
But one thing that interview did that I was not aware of totally is, boy, did it highlight the divisions in the Democratic Party between the young group, like the AOC, and her. You could clearly tell she's no fan of AOC. When Leslie Stahl said, "Why, you know, you're 80, and the other people around you are in their 80s as well. Why aren't you grooming young people in the Democratic Party?" And she said, "We are."
Yeah.
And Leslie Stahl said, "Well, that's not what AOC says, and she criticizes you for it all the time." And boy, Nancy Pelosi she doesn't know. It's just not her. You know, she was very stern about that whole thing.
Well, and I think Leslie was kind of aggressive on it.
I think she did a great job.
And she should be. But I really think that Nancy Pelosi probably was more right than the audience gave her credit for. People don't know what's going on, and that's the problem with our government. People don't know what's going on at the high level like
that. But shouldn't AOC, who I believe has got more Twitter followers than just about any Democrat at this point, know?
That doesn't mean crap when it comes down to politics.
Right,
how many
but
Twitter followers
party.
You have.
What is she trying to do?
I don't understand that, and I agree that the question should be asked, and so maybe there'll be a change.
Because we go around saying all these times that it's party before country. Well, clearly not in her case, because she's going after her own party.
Well, I think if you look at the party, you will find dozens and dozens and dozens of young people who are in that party, as opposed to the other party. If you look at a picture of the other party, probably 90% are all old white men, whereas in the Democratic Party, it's a lot closer to what the America looks like. So I don't know.
But it seems to me like there's a much bigger division in the Democratic Party right now, which I think we will see now that they control all branches of government in the legislation that's trying to be put forth, because you've got the oldest president ever elected, you've got a very old Speaker of the House at 80 years old, and you've got a Senate Majority Leader who's rather old, Schumer, I believe in his late 70s, and then you've got this group who doesn't, who will openly criticize them.
And I think that's good. I think that's one thing that the Democratic Party seems to be able to do and handle, is have arguments within the under the tent, all under the tent. Whereas I really find that Mitch McConnell, and this is obviously showing my leaning, but I think Mitch McConnell has stifled any of that. And the fact that all the Republicans look like old white guys like me, I think they aren't going to argue with him. Whereas in the Democratic Party, there are a lot of people that are going to argue.
We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
You want to see HAP from this point.